Sit with me. Congratulate your neighbor, though, on your right and left. Tell your neighbor it's another round of blessing for you. It's another round of turnaround for you. It's another round of glory for you. Even in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most marvelous name we have prayed. And everything you are writing down this morning shall turn to you for a testimony. Amen. Your amen is weak. Amen. Everything you are writing down shall turn to you for a testimony. Amen. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have written it, just keep it. We'll get to it in a short while. Teaching series, Understanding Pathways to Sanctification. Understanding Pathways to Sanctification. And this will be part 2B, Understanding Pathways to Sanctification. And this will be part 2B. It said, God is not like man. Anything God tells us to do, it is because He has given us capacity to be able to do them. Anything and everything He tells us to do, He has empowered us to do. 1 John 5:3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. The ARV translation says, loving God means obeying His commands, and God's commands are not too hard for us. God's commands are not too hard for us. I will not tell you what I have not empowered you to do. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as He which hath called you is holy, He says, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Though I have empowered you for it, it is your choice. Whatever He tells us to do, He has empowered us to do, but He gives us to make a choice. He says, make a choice. He wants us to make a choice. Sanctification is a choice that no man can make for you. Sanctification is a choice that no woman can make for you. Sanctification is a choice that your parents cannot make for you. Sanctification is a choice that has to be made personally. It's a personal choice that has to be made. Joshua said, as for me, I have decided to serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15 says, as for me, I have decided to serve the Lord. As for me, I have decided to serve the Lord. And until we know what the cost of unrighteousness is, we will not know the cost of righteousness. It is expedient for us to know the cost of unrighteousness in order for us to be able to run after righteousness. Glory to the name of the Lord. And so very quickly in this service, let's take a look at cost of ungodliness. Cost of ungodliness. What ungodliness will cost us. Number one is that it opens the doors of sicknesses and diseases. Ungodliness opens the doors of sicknesses and diseases. There are ways that we open the doors of sicknesses to the devil. We actually give him access to our bodies in sin. James was addressing those of the early church. He says, I don't expect anybody to be sick, but in case. James 5:14-15. And nobody is expected to be sick, but he said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Did you see them there? It says, let him. It means if anybody is sick, it will be one person. Maybe just one person. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Let them anoint him with oil. But let that prayer be the prayer of faith. And then he said, but, verse 16 now, he says, if he has committed anything, and if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Let's not rule out the fact that the sickness, the root cause of the sickness may be as a result of sin. TLB translation, it says, is anyone sick? He should call for the elders of the church and they should pray over him and pour a little oil upon him, calling on the Lord to heal him. And their prayer, if offered in faith, will heal him. For the Lord will make him well. And if his sickness was caused by some sin, the Lord will forgive him. The Lord will forgive him. That is, anyone under any form of sin right now, your repentance will result in your forgiveness. Amen is weak. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. In Mark's Gospel chapter 2, when Jesus, the Bible speaking about a man sick of the palsy, he said, when he saw that they were lowering unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. In other words, I need to address the root of your sickness first. I see your faith, but your faith is not going to work if the root of the sickness is not addressed. I see you have faith, but the root cause of your sickness is sin. So he says your sins are forgiven. God cannot live in a dirty house. This is his temple. And so every time the Holy Ghost dwells in that temple, sickness flees. But every time sin comes, the Holy Ghost leaves. And then we give room for the devil to torment our bodies. That will never be you again. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 17. It says, know ye not that the temple of God, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. The temple of God is holy, which ye are. Which ye are. And then there was a man also found in John's Gospel from chapters 1 to 5. John's Gospel chapter 5 from verses 1 to 9. The Bible speaking about the man said he had been there 38 years looking for a man to push him into the pool of Bethesda. But the Bible says when Jesus saw him, verse 5 says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 30 and 8 years. When Jesus saw him lie and that knew that he had been there a long time, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. He said, and immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. But something happened along the way. Jesus found the man again in the temple. And then he remembered, oh, I didn't tell him the cause of his problem. I didn't tell him the root cause of the sickness. Because it's not because you lacked helper while you were at the pool of Bethesda. If somebody had pushed you into that water and you were made whole, you would still have gone back to your sickness. Because the root cause needs to be addressed. So he said to him, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple in verse 14 and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, but sin no more. And this is be the gravity of your sin, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. We give room to sicknesses and diseases when we engage in sin. The enemy knows that God will not, he knows that we have opened up to him when we engage in sin. You will not be found there again. Cost of ungodliness blocks access. Number two, blocks access to supernatural breakthroughs. Let me put it in simple English. God withdraws his help because nobody can give you supernatural breakthrough. Supernatural breakthrough simply means the help that man cannot render. That is supernatural breakthrough. The kind of help that no man can lay claim to, that I was the one that helped you. That is supernatural breakthrough. That is, the hand of God is the only hand that can provide and produce supernatural breakthrough, but sin can be a barrier. But it says something to us. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, turn you at my reproof. So when I scold you that what you are doing is wrong and then you turn from it, it says, behold, then I will pour my spirit upon you and I will make known unto you my words. And then what will happen? Because the man of sin is the man on the ground. He says, when you have turned at my reproof, Isaiah chapter 60 now tells us what will happen. Isaiah 60 from verses 1 to 3, he says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. For and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, but because you are a light in darkness, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee," that is upon the sanctified, "and his glory shall be seen upon thee." And then what will be the result? "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light." The Gentiles are the sinners, but your own light will attract them. "The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." In other words, when you were on the floor before, but now I'm going to lift you from the floor and take you to the top. Supernatural breakthrough. Somebody will experience it this time. Amen. I said somebody's experiencing it this time. Amen. Help is available with the helper, but sin may be a barrier. Number three, cost of ungodliness blocks access to eternity with Christ. It blocks access to eternity with Christ. The essence of Christianity is eternity. The whole essence of Christianity is eternity, is to spend eternity with him. Anything that will rob us of that should be uprooted. He said to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Avoid all these things, and then you will have access to eternity. You and I will have access to eternity. He said that's not all. Revelation 21 and verse 8, he says also, "Be careful of these things, but the fearful, let nothing cause fear for you. And unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." It is not about the miracles performed. It is not about the service we do, our services. It has nothing to do with your deliverance ability. It has nothing about your eloquence. The amount on our account does not matter. The number of houses we own will be disregarded. The only passport that we will need for the door to be opened is the passport of righteousness. Spending eternity with Christ. In fact, he said in Psalms, in Matthew 7, 22 to 23, he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, we have not prophesied. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity." You were doing it, but it was probably not from a pure heart. It was probably not from a good heart. And then he says, "I will say to you in that day, all the work that you did, I didn't even know that you were working for me because you were working against me." He said, "You will not be found." I'm saying to you this morning, no one here will be found there. Amen. He said in Psalm 140 and verse 13, "The upright shall dwell in thy presence." The upright shall dwell in thy presence. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall arise first. And what will happen? Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord." So shall we ever be with the Lord. Nobody shall miss this appointment. Amen. No one will miss this appointment. Amen. No one will miss this appointment. Amen. He said the whole essence of everything you are doing now is so that you spend eternity with me. Don't ruin it. So that you spend eternity with me. Don't ruin it. But let me quickly tell you, if eternity is the goal, how do we get there? If eternity is the goal, then how do we get there? We get there by repentance. Repentance. Somebody tell your neighbor, say repentance. And let me tell this to you. Number one, the magnitude of your sin does not affect his forgiveness. It does not matter how big you see your sin as, or how big people have condemned you for the sin, or how huge you have been condemning yourself for it. He said, the hugeness of the sin does not matter. True repentance blots it out like it never happened. Glory to God. David, the Bible says, David, an adulterer. David, a murderer. But David, a man after God's heart. How do you put that together? David, an adulterer. David, a murderer. But David, God himself said, a man after my heart. How did that happen? Genuine repentance. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. David orchestrated the death of a man, took his wife, and then the Bible says God sent the prophet to him. Go and say to David, but use parables to tell him what he has done. And what did he do? Go back there. He said, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him. And he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But this poor man only had one. And he's so precious to him that he keeps him in his bosom, because he was rich to him as a daughter. Keep going. He says, but the poor man had nothing. Go back now, go to verse 4. He said, and there came a traveler unto the rich man. The traveler came to the rich man and he spared to take his own flock. He didn't kill any of his own. He had many. But he went and took the one from the poor man and killed him to entertain his guest. I'm breaking it down in simple English so that we can understand where they are coming from. And then in verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled. What? Who did that in this kingdom? And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. And the Bible says, David's anger was so great, kindled against the man. Verse 6 now, it says, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And then the prophet said, you are the one. Verse 7, he said, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, and this is God's verdict. He says, I have been everything you have, I gave you. If you needed one more wife, when you have asked me, I would have given you. Why would you do that? Now this is my verdict. He says, now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, for thou didst this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son. And look at David in verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against God. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die. So what happened? If after repentance, even the child, God gave David a child from the woman that he stole, and the child became the next king of Israel. Why? And the Bible says God so gave the child so much wisdom and so much riches, he became the richest king that ever lived. Repentance. The magnitude of your sin does not matter. Don't let people look down on you and condemn you. And I keep saying, even when the enemy reminds you of your sins, remind him of his future. When the devil reminds you of your sins, tell him, I will remind you of your future. Why? Genuine repentance blocks and trashes out every sin. Another example is the example of Ahab. The Bible speaking about Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 26. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself. If you are selling yourself to walk wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as he did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Everything Ahab did, the Bible says, and then after a while, Ahab wanted a garden. And Ahab felt bad because he couldn't get the garden. But anything Ahab wanted, just tell your wife, there's no problem. And then he told his wife, why are you sad? He said, I need Naboth's vineyard. But he's not giving it to me. He said, don't worry, we'll give it to you. And then she went, killed Naboth, and gave Jezebel, his wife, and gave Ahab the vineyard. Now, look at what happened. 1 Kings 21:15. How did they kill the guy? And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, rise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. He has given it for his life. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And the king did not find out how he died or what killed him, because he knew. And what happened? Verse 16. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And then suddenly God spoke. Verse 17, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood. Even dying. That was a prophecy. And then in verse 27, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes. He put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. I have looked away from what he has done. Why? Because of repentance. Your past is irrelevant when genuine repentance is in place. Neither the magnitude of your sin when genuine repentance is in place. Again, when the devil reminds you of your past, what do? Remind him of his future. The second thing that will not stop your forgiveness is what people think. What people think. What people think does not matter when repentance is in place. God says, I don't even remember it anymore. I don't even remember it anymore. Somebody is reminding you, but God says, I don't even remember it anymore. And I talked about an illustration in the first service. Because you are judging people based on what you see. And we had a meeting yesterday, and one of the pastors said that some people are being judged because somebody was judging him too, based on what they are seeing. Or he felt he probably judged that person, but didn't know what the person was going through. I was driving yesterday morning, wanting to go get my cup of coffee at Tim Hortons, and it was two driveways. So I wanted to be quicker than the other lady. And I was doing everything possible, so much so that I was repeating the thing to the people quickly, quickly, quickly. But before I could finish, the other lady drove in front of me, and I was like, why? Why would you do that? But when we got there, and they gave me my coffee, and I was about to pay, they said, no. The lady in front of you paid for you. Aww. Glory to God. The vendor in front of you already paid for you. He already paid for it. That's how Jesus already paid for your debt. He already paid for your debt. So genuine repentance, it does not matter what anybody thinks. Genuine repentance already paid for it. And if you already paid for it, what anybody thinks does not matter. May the Lord give you understanding. They said they brought a woman to him, John 8. from verse 1. They brought a woman to Jesus. They said, we caught her in the very act. We caught her in the very act. Jesus said, the one that has never sinned among you, throw the first stone. Everybody left. Jesus said, did anybody accuse you? She said, no. He said, well, even me, I will not accuse you, but go, sin no more. Somebody will be liberated today. In the name of Jesus Christ. What are the pathways to sanctification? Pathways to sanctification. Quickly, number one, crave for the endowment of the Spirit of holiness. Crave for the endowment of the Spirit of holiness. In other words, if unholiness is a spirit, then holiness is a spirit. So ask for the baptism of the Spirit of holiness. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There is the Spirit of holiness that subdues the spirit of unholiness. Romans 8:13, it says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. In other words, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, it helps us to subdue the spirit of unholiness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What will happen? They shall be filled. Pathways to sanctification. Number two, engage the power of the blood. And good thing this morning, we are engaging the blood of Jesus. The blood has capacity to rescue from unrighteousness. It says they overcame him. Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him. One weapon of overcomers is the blood of Jesus. And what a good thing, the blood of drinking is available this morning. And so when we drink it, it goes into our system to check out everything and anything that makes us unclean. I didn't hear your amen. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12, 11 to 12. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, have I sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant. So that blood has capacity. It's a weapon that purges us. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Purge our conscience. So our conscience is the policeman. And so when we partake of the blood has capacity to purge the conscience. You won't be found there again. Amen. Pathways to sanctification, number three, never abandon the fellowship of believers. Every time we come to church, we get strengthened. We receive strength. Every day we miss church, we lose strength. Maybe not physical strength, but spiritual strength. Every time we miss service, we lose strength. Psalm 84 and verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that had appeared before God, they go from strength to strength. He says, church attendance is to counter unrighteousness daily. To counter unrighteousness daily. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. There are days you will come to church and then you're about to do something, but you just hear from the altar, hey, then you know, pastor is talking to me, that means I'm not going to do that. And I said in the first service, there are people also in church that are your spiritual check. You check yourself spiritually, not gossiply. You check yourself spiritually. You know that this is my spiritual partner, not gossip partner. Spiritual partner that you hold hands together. You tell them, hey, sis, bro, I'm falling in this area. I have
something is happening. There's temptation in this area. You hold hands and, like I keep saying, they slap the idea off your head.
I mean, understand what I'm talking about.
But when you miss Zion, then you miss out on those things. That's why Jesus, Hebrews, Paul speaking, he said in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. Look for people who will tell you the truth in church. Not people who tell you what you want to hear.
Because birds of the same feather.
If you are looking for those who will tell you what you want to hear, you are both going in the wrong direction. You find somebody that tells you the truth. Well, the truth may be bitter, but the truth is truth. He says, find those people in church. ESV translation says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Church is designed to counter sin. CSB says, but encourage each other every day. Do this while it is today. Help each other so that none of you will become hardened because of sin and its tricks. Church is not a place to come and sell your wares. Church is a place to come and find someone to hold your hand and to clean us up so that we don't miss eternity.
May the Lord give us understanding.
Amen. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one with meekness, considering that you can also fall into that same temptation. And in restoration, the whole church must not hear about it. You have restored one person now. The next thing is you are calling. Did you hear what your sister said?
That girl has gone far.
That is not restoration. You have simply exposed the person to the whole world. You say, restore in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens.
May the Lord give us understanding.
Pathways to sanctification, number 4, engage faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith pleases him. And when he is pleased with us, we are empowered to overrun sin. Engage faith. Whatsoever you clear off by faith clears off for your path. But what will sanctification deliver to us? What will sanctification deliver to us? In other words, what are we going to gain from sanctification? And everything we will gain, 7 things to talk about this morning, is in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. It says to us, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb which is slain to receive power, to receive riches, to receive wisdom, to receive strength, to receive honor and glory and blessings. So there is power in sanctification. There is riches in sanctification. There is wisdom. When we engage sanctification, there is strength. When we engage sanctification, there is honor, there is glory, and there is blessing. Let's take them one after the other very quickly. And those things, all of them, are available even from right now until Shiloh 2022 and beyond. Number 1 is power. Power is a non-negotiable requirement for the triumphant, for those who want to triumph. Power. I'm not talking about earthly power. I'm talking about the kind of power that can only proceed from above. Luke 5, 37 to 39. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. But if God wants to empower you, then we have to take out every form of anything that is not of him. He cannot put power in a vessel that is not strong to contain the power. Otherwise, the vessel will burst. That's what he's talking about there. There are things that we need to take out or reshape the vessel so that the vessel can contain the power. He said, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. We cannot ask for empowerment if we don't change the vessel. Luke chapter 10, Jesus called 70 people, sanctified, and gave them power. And the Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy. Why? Because of empowerment. Even the devils were subject to us through thy name. Why? Because of the sanctification. The sanctification provided room for empowerment, and then they began to manifest. That's what David said. David said in Psalm 92 from verse 9, he said, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. And then he said in verse 10, he said, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And when that fresh anointing comes, the fresh anointing is the reason for my empowerment. The fresh anointing. Verse 12 now, he said, the righteous shall flourish like a cedar, like a palm tree, and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And then it will begin to crush all my enemies. Why? Because of righteousness. Someone here, you are going places. You will be empowered. Amen. Number two will be riches. The empowerment will deliver heavenly order of riches into thy hand. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee what? Power to get wealth. Proverbs 23:5, will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle to whatever. So the kind of riches we are talking about is the riches that empowerment came from above via sanctification. Not the one that was ill-gotten or gotten by deceit. It is the one that heaven made to happen. Job 22:23-24. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. And when iniquity is far from our tabernacles, is this, then shall thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. In other words, you will quit running after money. Money will be running after you. I didn't hear your amen. You will not see the government as your siphoning. How many understand what I'm talking about? Many are not in that category right now because you don't see God as the source. You see every other person or any other channel as the source. They are channels, they are not your source. So in this service, God will point you to your source. Number three, what is available to the sanctified? Wisdom. Wisdom is the beginning of restoration of our royalty. How many know they are royalty? And kings reign by wisdom. Proverbs 8:15-16. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule. But what gives us wisdom? The fear of the Lord. That is sanctification. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when wisdom comes, then we begin to reign. No one will be on the floor again. Amen. Number four, what is available to the sanctified? Strength. Strength that will not be taken on the lap of Delilah. People have lost their strength on the lap of Delilah, like Samson. Samson gave away his strength on the lap of Delilah. The same Samson that will go to the city gate and take uproot the gate. Samson will uproot the gate with his hands and take the gate to the top of the mountain. You know, when you are climbing a mountain, it is even more difficult when you have a little bag. You are climbing a mountain and then you have a little bag. The bag will be a barrier somehow. But he took two gates from the city and took it to the top of the mountain. And then later, the same Samson became a toy. Is it Samson? Oh yeah, dance for us, dance for us. And Samson began to dance. Samson began to dance for them. I shared in the first service, let me share it again so that I can help somebody. In my final year in school, we were writing our final, one of the examinations, and then they mixed us up with these first year students. And the other one, they were writing English language. I can't remember what we were writing. And I was almost done, so I looked, it was a lady. And I looked at her, I said, why are you not writing anything? She said, because I don't know anything. I said, why don't you know anything? It's English language, now it's simple. And I looked at it, it's something that I could, and then for some reason, I said, bring it, let me do it for you. And then I took it from her and sat down and just started writing. Born again Christian, no. Born again, fully born again Christian. So don't think, maybe he was not born again at the time. Fully, heavily born again. As a matter of fact, I was going to be the next campus fellowship president. And I said, after we finished, I didn't even end there. After we finished the exam, I remember now. I didn't remember in the first service. I think I went to drop my own and went back to finish for her. You see how stupid I was. I went to drop my own paper first, and then I went back. I said, hey, now bring it now. So I now engaged powerfully. So by the time I was leaving, they now said, the man that I was going to submit to, I look like I've seen this one before now. What is this thing doing here? And then he just gave me a dirty slap. What are you doing here? And then I said, he held me, elderly man. He held me and was saying, and I was trying to struggle with him. Everybody, and all of a sudden, I took myself out and I took off. I took off running. And of course, some of my friends were still there. So when we got to the hostel, they were like, it looks like you are finished. And we have one more paper tomorrow. It's better you just don't go. If I go, don't go, it means that I've recarried already, I failed already. It's better I go, he won't recognize me. So I went, and then I just covered everything they were doing. I was doing like this, covered my head. And this man, another heavily born again child of God, came in and did like this. I can never forget. He did like this, he said, Holy Spirit, show me where he is. Holy Spirit, show me where he is. And he just started looking around the hall. And after a while, he looked in my direction. I think even some of my friends gave me up. Because the way they were even looking at me like, and I was trying to look down. They were trying to, so he just came straight to me. It's you. Come with me. Wrote me up. Sent it to those people who will judge things, and sent it to them, and all the while, but one thing went for me. I went back to God, and I said, Lord, I did a stupid thing. I'm sorry. You know that I have nothing in my heart except to just help, but it was stupid help. But please, Lord, have mercy on me. Turn this thing around for me. And you know, they won't call you immediately. They will only call you when you're about to graduate. So they called me in now the exact final year when we were about to graduate. They just came to the class one day. They said, some of you, if you hear your name, they want to see you in so-so-so, so-so-so, so-so-so-so. And I had my name, my heart did boom.
What am I going to do?
And then I went there. But here is the story. When I got there, everybody had gone on break, except for the dean of the faculty. And the dean of the faculty, also a very highly born-again Christian that everybody, Christians feared him. That everybody feared. And then he looked at me and said, what is the problem? I said, sir, this is the challenge. This is exactly what happened. I know I've done a very stupid thing, but I'm just asking for mercy. The next thing he did, he gave me the Bible. He says, open to Proverbs chapter 9. No. Open to Proverbs 31 and verse 3. And I took the Bible. Open it to, give not thy strength unto women. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth. And he said to me, look, you are going places. You have a future, but always remember this scripture. And he said, I should go. Genuine repentance will always attract complete forgiveness. Complete forgiveness from God and the ones that God will send to you. Complete repentance. But for somebody here, don't give your strength to women. You have had it too. Glory to God. Number 5 is honor. Somebody that has been disgraced here, you are going home with honor. Amen. When we purge ourselves, we become vessels of honor. Sanctification confers honor on us. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. So, which means, make a choice. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he has made a choice to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. At Shiloh 2022, you will meet your honor. God is preparing us for honor already. Number 6, quickly, glory. Somebody is being turned from shame to glory. But one barrier to glory is pride. There is a man in scriptures, God glorified him. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Verse 3, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Now verse 5, he said, and he sought God. Look at that. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He was walking in sanctification. And the Bible says, as long as he walked in sanctification, God made him to prosper. And then in verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and break down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And what? God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gubal and the Menuhims. That's not all. See how much help Uzziah received. Verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Masi, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600.
And under their hand was what? 300,000 and 7,500 that made war a mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. He made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad. For he was what? Marvelously helped till he was strong. But look at the next verse, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. That's not your job. Uzziah, what makes you think because you are strong now, you can now go and do what the priests are ordained to do? That's not your job. But what happened? Verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 70 priests of the Lord. They quickly went in with him. What are you doing? And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertained not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. God will not accept it. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy rose up. The leprosy rose up from his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense. He turned to a leprous man immediately. The same man that was glorified because of pride ended up in leprosy. You won't be found there. Proverbs 13:14, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is the reproach to any people. And finally, blessings. How many are walking in blessings today? The blessings of the Lord will always follow the sanctified and obedient ones. Deuteronomy 28:1-2, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. He says, and these blessings shall follow you. What are they? They shall come on thee. They will overtake you. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now keep going. Verse 3, somebody still there. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. He said, blessed shall be thy basket and thy stall. He says, blessed shall be thou when thou goest out, and thou when thou comest in. Blessed shall be the Lord, cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and they shall flee seven ways. He says, you'll be blessed on every side. You'll be blessed at home. You'll be blessed abroad. You'll be blessed at home. Your children will be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything around you, about you, will be called blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. If that is you, rise up on your feet with me. Give God thanks for all the 7 blessings that you have received this morning. Give him praise and give him glory. Give him honor and give him all adoration. And magnify his name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Give him thanks and praise. Father, we glorify you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify your name. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. In Jesus' marvelous name, we have prayed. Well, before we partake of the communion table this morning, and we pray over the request, someone here this morning wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be born again. I need sanctification. I've heard the word this morning. It applies to me one area or the other. I need sanctification. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life. Why not? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are in any of those categories, please put your right hand on your heart. Wherever you are, let me pray with you. Or online or on ground, put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you and for you wherever you are. And if you are doing that right now, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again, that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' marvelous name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace has brought them. The same grace will preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. In the name of Jesus Christ. You have accepted them. They have renounced sin. They will run to you, and you will accept them. And your name will be glorified. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Well, you said that prayer in your heart. Wave your hands to Jesus. Somebody will be by your side quickly to assist you. If you so touch, I thought you are clapping. You said that prayer online. Send a text message to the number that has been displayed right now, and somebody will also be there to assist you. You said that prayer in your heart on ground. Why not wave those hands? Wave those hands to Jesus. We are all born again. The Lord will purge us. Are you waving your hands? The Lord bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Well, very quickly, bring out your request right now. Bring out the request right now. Bring out the request right now. Bring out the request right now. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. And lift it up to heaven. Begin to call on the God of heaven on those requests as you're also using your right, another hand to pick up your communion. King of glory, I lift up this request according to your servant, the apostle over this commission. According to the request of the apostle over this commission. Lelara zontelia kalara zozizo melere zoskele. Malara zozezia, speak to him right now. Speak to him right now. Speak to him right now. Speak to the King of glory. Speak to the King of glory concerning that request. It shall turn to me for a testimony. It is returning with me for a testimony, even in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus. It is returning with me for a testimony, even in the